Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry to help you do church better. I'm your co-host, John Ronaldo, here alongside Chris Wesley. And today we're going to be talking about small group ministries. But first we go into that, Chris, how's life? What you up to?
Oh, it's great. Having a lot of fun doing ministry and getting students together in my, I guess you can still call it new parish, St. Joe's in Cockeysville. I wonder when that threshold is when you go from current, you know, new parish to current parish. So, but yeah, we're getting a youth ministry program together, the young adult program. Lots of learning going on. That's why I'm excited that we're doing this podcast, because you get to share a lot of that perspective. In the midst of consulting a parish out here in Maryland as well, especially with their faith formation team. So not just youth ministry, but children's and adult faith formation as well. So life's good. Family's good. Kids, you know, we still keep them around.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. How about on your end?
Oh, you know, life is good. I'm actually really excited about this topic because I'm in the midst of starting at a new parish, St. Catherine in Morgan Hill. And we're talking about small group ministries as a potential focus for some of the work that we do. Mm-hmm. I know our parish, we already do a small group ministry for our confirmation program. And we have some adult small groups. We'll be talking about that a little bit in the podcast as well. But I just think this is an important podcast when we talk about intentional discipleship, having a community of folks around us in via small group is one of the most effective ways of doing this. And I know our evangelical brothers and sisters have in many ways are much more effective at this. And I think a lot of Catholic communities are certainly jumping on board and making this happen. So I think this is an exciting topic. But Chris, I actually want to turn it over to you, because not only from your previous experience in Nativity, this was very much an essential part of your ministry, but now also at St. Joe's, and now you're launching small group ministry. So let's kind of delve in. Chris, tell us a little bit about your experience at Nativity and also here at St. Joe's and launching a new small group.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned how the evangelical churches are kind of knocking this out of the park, and it's something that they've been doing for a while. And I think we've been, we meaning the Catholic Church, have been doing it for a while too, just not as intentionally. And I think that's one of the big things that needed to change. When I first came to Nativity, I was hired as the middle school youth minister, and I inherited the small group model in our middle school. And later on, when I took over high school, the high school program, they looked a little bit different from, you know, what they soon became. But it essentially was a group of middle school students with two adults that led that group, and they talked about their faith and things along that line. And so for those groups, there was some momentum and everything like that. Kids sort of liked them, but they still had that kind of classroom feel. And so we were able to change that when we made a few small changes, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Small groups were already part of the culture at Nativity. When I came to St. Joe's, they didn't really have small groups for teenagers, and they didn't have small groups for children's ministry, but they had small groups for adults. But those small groups are probably something that a lot of people are familiar with, the Renew groups, Living the Eucharist groups. I think parishes around have seen those types of groups before and have experienced them. And those are great because they bring people together around a topic. But then the problem is, after the Living the Eucharist or Renew curriculum ended, it was kind of like, okay, what's next?
That's a really interesting point, because then the question is a small group based on curriculum or topics, or is it based on relationships? And that's one of the fears I have, that as we go into these curriculums, which are actually really good curriculums, you know, then how do we create new curriculum for this small group to kind of keep moving forward? I think it's one of the struggles that we have as ministers, because we kind of have to provide some of that for our small group leaders to be able to keep the momentum and energy going in the small group.
Well, and let's talk about that. Let's kind of make that our goal today, to define what small groups should be, because absolutely, I think, you know, it's like a lot of these terms we make up in church world, where there is an initial intention of what they mean, and then people take them and say like, well, you know, small groups are Bible studies, or small groups are diving into like a deep theological discussion, or small groups are just hanging out with people you like, you know? And so it can really get confusing because, John, you can say we have small groups at St. Catharines, and I can say, no, we have small groups at St. Joe's, and you look at them and they're completely different. And so I think in a way we need to come to a common ground on that. And that's what we can do here on the Church Podcast. You know,
all right, let's do it. How would you define small group ministry, Chris?
All right. Well, first they have to be small. All right. You know,
and, good start.
But that's the biggest part. So like I, one of the groups that we came across at St. Joe's had something like 20 people in it. I'm like, that's not a small group. I'm like, that's, if those were teenagers, that would be a youth ministry. I mean, if, you know, that's almost the size of some churches, you know, 20 people, right? So I truly believe in my heart that a small group has to be around 8 people, all right? And that includes the leader, all right? 8 people. And from my experience, whether it's leading a group of teenagers or being in my men's group or a married couples group, when you have 6 to 8 people, it's a sweet spot of conversation because you can still kind of sit back and, you know, just listen and not make it awkward because there's, you know, no one talking, but you can also, there's also not too many people where everyone gets the chance to share their voice. So I really do believe small groups need to be around 6 to 8 people, including the leader.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think 8, you hear that a lot out there. I sometimes go for a little bit larger, 8 to 10, because you know not everyone's going to be able to show up each week or each month. And so, you know, if you have only like 6 and then 2 people don't show up, then you only have 4, and then it becomes a tiny group. Yeah,
so. Yeah, but I'll push back on that because I hear that, you know, we have 8 people who show up all the time, but we have 16 people in the group. Mm-hmm. Then that, you know, and this might sound harsh, but that's a result of poor leadership or not taking care of, not necessarily leadership, but the group's not healthy. Because if there are people who are not consistently showing up, then you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. One is, you know, like what obstacles are they facing to come to the group? Are the people who aren't coming on a consistent basis, like, are they the same people? Or is it just, you know, every other week it's 8 people here and then different 8 people the following week? And the reason that asking those questions and answering them are so important is because if you can't get momentum and continuity, then you really can only go so deep. So I'd almost say that's another definition of small groups, or small groups have to be consistent. I mean, it's even this idea of, can groups meet monthly or can they meet weekly? I think if you have a group that meets monthly, yes, they can grow in a healthy manner, but then if you miss a group, then you're waiting 2 months, you know, until you can jump back in. And what kind of relationship is that? You know, I make this point in Rebuilding Youth Ministry, where you can't have a healthy relationship, you know, with your spouse if you're only talking like once in a while, right? You have to talk consistently. And so for youth small groups, and I think the same for adult small groups, if you're not meeting on a regular basis, meaning like weekly, then the relationship is going to hit a lot more obstacles than if you're communicating through some of those situations.
Yeah, I agree with the weekly. When I started my men's faith sharing group about almost two years ago now, we had pretty, not intense, but we had some dialogue about how often we meet. And I was really pushing for the weekly because I wanted that intentional relationship. Mm-hmm. I needed that once a week, just like Sunday Eucharist. I needed my men's small group on Tuesday night as well to kind of keep motivating and move me forward. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys in the group were pushing back a little bit because it was a big commitment, an hour and a half, once a week. We all have kids. We all have work. We all have family stuff going on. But we decided to go for it, even though not quite everybody was on board. And what's interesting is some of the guys who joined the group who were most against the monthly, that they were most concerned about it, they're actually our most consistent members who come weekly, which is a really interesting shift. And now I think now that we've been living in it for almost 2 years, I think the guys would all agree weekly is the right commitment to it. And from a family point of view, my family and my kids, especially my wife and my kids, know that I've got this every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. And why? Because this men's small group specifically is going to help me become a better husband, mm-hmm. a better father, and a right. better disciple. And that's, for me, one of the huge definitions for a small group for me is a group mm-hmm. of people, whether it's co-ed, couples, males, females, however you want to form it. We could talk about that in a second. But that it's a group of people who are journeying together on the spiritual life
right.
and helping each other become better disciples. And for me, that was essential in the forming of my men's small group.
Right. Well, I think you nailed it on the head that small groups are there to make us not just better, you know, husbands or wives or fathers and mothers or men and women, but to make us better disciples of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's going to be easy. You know, you're going to be really excited to show up for your group. Other times, you know, if you have an evening group, you had a rough day at work, last thing you want to do is, you know, go out, you know, or maybe it's an early morning group and last thing you want to do is get up and, you know, get out of bed and talk about Jesus. And so there is a struggle there. And I think as soon as the group buys into the fact that it's a struggle and that every single person is accountable, so not just the leader, but every single person is accountable, that's when the group is really going to be able to go for a while.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a little bit how you have done it in youth ministry and confirmation. How are the small groups formed? Do they meet year round? Do they meet sure. only during sacramental prep? Let's go into that a little bit so we can get a sense of the youth ministry. And then we'll talk a little bit about adult ministry after that.
Yeah, yeah. So in youth ministry, as I mentioned before, took over these middle school groups and, you know, it was two leaders leading a group of middle school students, and it was mixed gender. And I remember it was after the first year of doing youth ministry. I can't remember what really sparked it, but part of me was like, you know what, we need to separate the groups by not just grade, but also by gender. So sixth grade girls, seventh grade boys, and so forth. And in the middle school groups, I didn't get a lot of pushback. I got pushback with the high school groups. And I got mainly from actually the leaders, not from the teenagers. The teenagers didn't have a strong reaction either way. And the point that I made is the fact that when you have a group of boys or a group of girls and they're separate, you're going to be able to go deeper into some important subjects than you will if it's a mixed group. And the reason for that is because there are some things that, you know, an adult male is never going to understand about teenage girls. And there are some things that an adult woman is never going to understand about teenage boys. And, you know, I grew up with four sisters and, you know, teenage girls still confuse me. You know, it's like they confused me at the time when I was a teenage guy and I had all these sisters going through all these girl things that I didn't understand. And even so now as a youth minister, it's like there are great girls in the youth ministries that I've been a part of, but I'm so thankful for the women that serve alongside me because I can be like, here, I don't get why she's crying. And so I think that's important. It doesn't mean you can't have mixed fellowship. I just think if you want to go deeper and you want to talk about faith and you want to form disciples of Jesus Christ, especially through the scope of a man or a woman, you really need to be gender specific in that regards. You might need to be flexible in some certain circumstances based on how many volunteers you have or your resources and everything. I totally get that. Sometimes when you're starting out, you gotta be a little bit messy in some of those situations. But yeah, ultimately, if you can have guys groups and girls groups for middle school and high school students, I think that's gonna benefit the ministry greatly.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. There's just a lot going on in a teenage body that, you want the intimacy that's not going to happen when a guy is trying to look good, quote unquote, for right. the girl that's in his small group. So I right. totally get that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to your youth ministry, junior high or middle school and high school, how do you go about forming those groups and how does it relate to other aspects of your ministry? Is it on top of a youth night? Is it separate? Is it instead of? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I truly believe that small groups need to be the foundation of your youth ministry. And, you know, what I'm going through now at St. Joe's is totally different than what I went through at Nativity, because at Nativity I inherited something that was already there. And what I inherited was something that had formed from classrooms that had already existed for sacramental preparation, right? At St. Joe's, there was a middle school ministry when I came in, but it was strongly tied to confirmation. The high school ministry really didn't exist. So with middle school, it's kind of like taking something that existed and just molding it and shaping it to where it needs to be. With the high school students, it's kind of like saying like, all right, are these teenagers just going to pop out of the woodwork? You know, how do I convince people to be a part of something that doesn't necessarily exist right now? So there's that little bit of a challenge. So this is what we're doing. This is our attempt. We're going to schedule a regular night. It's going to be Sunday nights, 5 to 7 p.m. The reason why we chose those nights is because we felt that there was the least amount of obstacles or resistance for people to come. Saturday and Friday nights, you're going out. Monday through Friday, you've got school and you're tired from school. Sunday, you know, yes, there's football, there's family occasions and everything like that, but there really isn't a lot of resistance, okay? And you're done by 7 o'clock, so you still got time to get home and, you know, catch your favorite TV shows, Sunday Night Football, whatever it is. And of course, I'm speaking from East Coast standards.
I was about to say, Sunday Night Football is late.
Sunday Night Football, yeah, when's that? But
that's at 5:30 for us.
Right. Oh man, so jealous of West Coast sports. Looking through that scope, what we're doing with our small groups is we want to have enough for two guys high school small groups and two girls high school small groups. And they'll probably be upperclassmen and underclassmen, right? Mm. And simply what we're doing is just talking to people and saying like, hey, listen, we just want you to be a part of this experiment. All you're going to do is commit for 8 weeks. You're going to commit for 2 weeks of meetings and 6 weeks of small groups. And those 8 weeks are going to run from September 17th to now I have to do my math. I think it's like November 4th or something, right? And we just want you to meet every single, we want you to come to these meetings to sit with these kids. And we just want you to pray with them. And then we'll give you some questions where you can share life and get to know them. And then at the end of that, we just want you to pray for them, teach them how to have intentional prayer. So ask them what's going on in their life that the group can pray for. And that's all we want you to do. And the purpose of why we're keeping it so simple is because we want to build a culture. We want to build a habit. We want people to see like, oh, wow, meeting 6 weeks in a row and having two other weeks where we have meetings, that's not a big deal. That's not so much of a commitment. We want them to get a taste of what it's like to build these relationships so that hopefully by the end of those 6 to 8 weeks, they're actually thirsty and hungry for more. And, you know, the temptation will be to continue to go on for a couple of weeks. But what I would say is stop, take time to plan, to reassess what you can do better, look at some other curriculum that you can fold in, and then launch again, you know, maybe early on in the new year, which is what we're going to do. We'll launch a little bit before Lent because Lent's early. Lent's February 14th is Ash Wednesday. So we'll be able to, you know, start at that point. But we want to set people up for success in the cultural standpoint, you know. And so we're going to recruit leaders to do that. And then we're actually going to personally invite teenagers to be a part of it. I mean, we'll make a pulpit announcement. We'll talk to people about, you know, we'll send emails out to parents and everything like that. But I've already got a list of teenagers that I want to talk to and convince them to be a part of it because, one, I know that they're thirsty and hungry for it. And two, by having people who are bought into, especially the beta test or the early rounds, you're going to get people more committed and that's going to lead to bigger success. So, just backing up again, what we're doing is we're starting small by having, you know, only four groups for the entire high school. We're going to lay out the first session to be about 6 weeks with two extra weeks of meetings for the leaders. And we're simply going to give them basic curriculum where they pray together at the beginning, share life, and pray for one another.
So I'm going to make an executive decision here, Chris. I think we, for the rest of our podcast episode today, I think we should stick with youth ministry because I actually have so many questions that I want to ask you now because I think this is really intriguing. So,
yeah.
So let me ask a big liability question. I have my own opinion about this, but I'm really interested in you. Do you do small groups in homes or do you do it on church and school site?
So we currently do it on church and school site. but I would love to see them back in homes. You know,
is there any obstacles for you guys having a homes, or is it just something that you guys haven't done yet and you'll move towards that?
One, there needs to be conversations between the pastor, myself, and our diocesan director, Craig Gould, you know, getting him on the page, and then even more people downtown, just to talk about the logistics of it. Because, you know, and this is something I was facing at Nativity, where we were growing so many small groups, we were starting to run out of space. And so there were a couple of options. One, look at an alternate night to have it at the church, which you could do, except then that starts using up church resources. And then eventually, in an ideal situation, you get to a point where you run out of space, even if you're seven nights a week, right? And so, you know, that was one of the major obstacles we were facing. But you could, in the short term, add in an additional night. But I think, like, looking at homes is important for two reasons. One, not only does it help with the scalability of small groups for youth, but two, it teaches a culture of us being missionary disciples in the community, right? Because if a teenager wants to invite their friend to get to know Christ, it's going to be a lot easier, or it's going to feel less intimidating for them to invite a kid to their friend's home or a small group home than it is to a church. Now, with that said, that doesn't mean you abandon youth ministry in the parish setting altogether. It just means that now you've got to plan other things at the parish, whether, you know, it's folded into mass or creating another youth ministry component where you get kids not just meeting in homes and starting house churches, you know, but that they're actually learning that, you know, small group is also a part of parish life as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good tension in terms of, you've got small groups at home, but remember that it's an offshoot of what's happening at the parish or the church. I would agree with you. I am very much a fan of doing them in homes, because you're right, there's something much more comfortable at a home that is not really totally replicable at mm-hmm. the parish site.
Right.
The comfort of a couch, the comfort of, you know, whoever the host is cooking cookies, you know, right. for all right. the kids or all the adults there. I'm a big fan of that. Now, obviously, there are liability questions that need to be done there, because obviously, if you're inviting people into homes, obviously, your small group leaders need to go through all the background checks and all that jazz. Do you have the people who own the home also do the same thing if
right.
the owner is different than the small group? So I think there's some things to consider there, but I think there's value of having it in a home that's really different. Now, you do it all on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if a young person can't be part of a small group on Sunday night because they have a standing commitment every Sunday?
Yeah, you know, that's a challenge. You find other ways for them to serve in the church or be a part of the church. You know, going back to our question of what are small groups, I think small groups are these, intimate settings where teens can meet with other teens and have an adult there to help them grow in their faith. But they're not the only types of groups or communities that you can have in a parish setting. So, you know, again, I know this is on a Sunday, but during Mass, or whether it's a Saturday night or a Sunday, you want to get teenagers involved in ministry, in the liturgical ministries or in children's ministry or in fellowship or hospitality ministries, where they're forming community, not just with one another, but the other adults who are serving in that ministry. And there's going to be, hopefully, if there's good leadership in those positions, whether it's the ushers or the lectors or the children's ministry, if you have good leadership there, then they're going to be investing in that community. And hopefully those kids will be a part of the community there. Yeah, they're going to miss out on what we're providing. But then again, it allows for these students to experience that community. And that goes back to why home groups are actually going to be are actually better than having the groups meet at the church, because then you can spread them out throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful. Now, you mentioned a couple times curriculum. What are some resources that you have used in the past for youth small groups in terms of curriculum? What titles and publishers are good places to start for our folks listening?
Yeah, so when I first started out in ministry, we used a lot from Simply Youth Ministry, which is out of Saddleback. Doug Fields founded that company. Now it's a part of Group Publishing. And so you would basically buy the curriculum or content, and the questions were in there. There was a little talk that the outline of the talk, even an audio version of that, that you could give to a large group and then split them off into small groups. We also use resources like Bluefish TV, which is a part of rightnowmedia.com. And they had canned small group curriculum where, you know, you watched the video, you got a booklet, and you watched, and you went through the booklet. I've used Alpha Youth, which is really great too. Formed, those are both, widely used curriculums. Formed is something that's continuing to grow. The difference with those programs, Alpha Youth and Formed, is that you watch a video, you do a little discussion, then you go back and you watch the video as well. So that really works more in a pure small group format, better than in a large group, let's break into small group sort of format. Mm-hmm. But I've really enjoyed those curriculums right there. And then, of course, I would definitely plug Rebuilt Parish Association, because we were starting to create some of our own stuff in-house there, and there's some great small group resources that Kelly Lippenholtz, who's on staff over there, has put together. And she's a brilliant writer and has definitely put together some great questions and discussion guides for some of the series that Church of the Nativity has done. So
that's great. That's super helpful. One of the things that you mentioned that I find really valuable earlier is you said personal invitation. You talked about knowing the young people and inviting them, whether it's you as a youth ministry leader or one of your adults as a small group leader or the youth themselves who are in small groups. What do you think is the most effective way of engaging young people into small groups? Is it personal invitation? Are there other strategies that you would include to make sure that all youth are welcome, besides, of course, bulletin and pulpit announcements and things like that?
Personal invitation, that's just the best one. I mean, if you can create a culture of the personal invite, you'll see your youth ministry or any ministry grow effectively in the most healthy manner. Other though effective methods, the pulpit announcement, and not just the pulpit announcement from either the director of youth ministry or from the pastor, but incorporate it in with the homily. If you can get the pastor or associate or the deacon to talk about small groups in the homily or in the reflection, and then have that driven home in the announcements, then that's going to be effective, because you'll have repeated it several times and people will have heard that message. But let's say that, like, really all you have at your disposal is the bulletin, right? Or, some kind of flyer or poster you can put up, in your church narthex. I would also recommend going out to local businesses in your community, like Starbucks. Starbucks has a community wall. I'm sure local coffee houses or diners or restaurants in your area might allow you to put a flyer up like that. Getting the teenagers to and talking to some of the schools and just seeing if there's an opportunity, especially if you have a Catholic school. If you have a Catholic school, there should be no reason why you can't walk into that school and talk to, the teachers or the staff or even the kids there about small groups. But if you're dealing with public schools, I know that sometimes there's these lines of, like, who can walk in and who can't. But build a relationship with those people. Build relationships with coaches. Build relationships with people who work with kids, and have them help you spread the word in that regards as well.
That's awesome. And that's evangelization too, yeah. Right? It's not expecting young people to come to the church site and hear about small groups, but mm-hmm. there's the aspect of us going out into the community.
Definitely.
And inviting people who may not be on the church grounds on a regular basis.
Definitely.
Oh man, Chris, I tell you, we hit a lot in a short amount of time, and there are so many other places that I wanted to go, but I think we're going to have to call it time here, and we're definitely going to have more conversations in the future around small groups.
That's right.
Certainly adult small groups. Some of the other questions that I wanted to kind of delve into is, how do we train small group leaders? So we'll get into that some other point, future podcast, adult small groups. And we're definitely going to be talking about the Catholic School Connection coming up in a few episodes as well. So Chris, you just shared a bunch of wisdom with us, and I really appreciate it. I mean, you have a lot of experience doing this. So thank you so much for allowing me to be the interviewer and you the interviewee.
I know, just asking questions. Next time we're going to have to just change hats, and I'm going to have to ask you all these questions.
It's all good.
It's great. But it's something we got to talk about. And what's great is it is a subject that we could probably make it the small group church podcast and just talk about those things, but there's definitely other topics that we need to cover and we will talk about. But if anyone's listening and has questions, definitely reach out. We're both on Twitter. You can get John at John Ronaldo, right? And for me, it's Chris R. Wesley. And then we have our websites, marathonyouthministry.com. And John, you're at johnronaldo.com, correct?
It should be launching at some point. Maybe it'll be launched by the time we launch this podcast.
It's launching. Yeah. But then also with the church podcast website, the churchpodcast.org, we want to hear your comments. We want to hear your feedbacks on some of the things that we're talking about. And definitely even in the reviews in iTunes, leave that there. This isn't just about what John and I want to talk about. This is about breaking open some of the things that everyone is facing when it comes to growing disciples and doing what Pope Francis and of course what God's asking us to do, and that's be missionary. So
Well, thanks, Chris, and thanks so much to all of you listening to the Church Podcast, and make sure you subscribe, and we will certainly talk to you in the next episode. Definitely.